The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is King. He has put on splendid apparel. The Lord has put on his apparel and girded himself with strength. As we sang in our psalm today and heard, as we often do, of the many references to Jesus being King, to the Anointed One who comes to bless us with his meekness and majesty. We only have to look at the bulletin at the hymns for today to know what the theme is. Christ the King, he whose glory fills the skies, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. There are so many names we have and use for Jesus in our liturgy, week in, week out. The Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last. And our hymnody is laden with such rich imagery that's both assuring and stirring. Stirring us to worship him, the King and Lord of all. Today, we sing of our King Jesus, who like an earthly king wears the crown and literally holds the world, the orb, in his hands. But he also graces the world as King of all, not just on the edge, but in glory. And it is in him alone we are called to worship and soon to implore, O come, Emmanuel. In preparing for today, I found myself singing another hymn. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Today, the feast of Christ the King is about glory and grace. As we give thanks at this Thanksgiving tide for the grace he has bestowed upon us over this past year. Today we also honour him and give him the glory on this, the Feast of Christ the King, established by Pope Pius XI in 1925. A feast set aside to remind us with confidence that Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe, both as God and as man. This Sunday's feast is a milestone moment in the life of the Church. And as Father Platt reminded us in the vestry beforehand, this day was once called the Sunday next before Advent. We are now on the threshold of Advent, linking the last Sunday of this church year and the first of the one to come, when we will sing of the royal and long-expected Jesus and God with us. Our churches are so rich with imagery of Jesus, and so often these images of his face, like the names we use in worship, are camouflaged by their surroundings. And we can so easily give lip service to the names we give him. And we can forget the significance of God's gift to us, his only begotten Son. I'm sure we all have our favourite images of Jesus, both here in this beautiful church and beyond. Maybe it's in the galleries of the Met, adorned with the reliquaries and old masters, or in old cathedrals with beautiful icons such as Christ Pantocrator. Each in their own way, reflecting a changing Christology of the day in which they were created. Many images speaking prophetically to a certain time, and each echoing God's capacity to be passionate as well as compassionate with his beloved creation to us. Many of you have an image which is one of devotion and perhaps inspiration that has helped you grow in your faith to know Jesus, not just about him, but to help you really know him. And there are always those art forms, like we recently had in the Cathedral of the Christa. Some of these are provocative, even contentious, and yet for some, give them an opportunity to go deeper into relationship with Jesus in a way that is real. However, returning to the dominant image of today, we revisit the King, the Anointed One, the Christ. His kingship is a solid symbol of authority, and yet he rules an otherworldly kingdom, ruled by one who is more majestic than the thunder of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea. Majestic on high is the Lord. And as our gospel reminds us, his kingdom is not of this world, so Jesus' kingship is a paradox. A paradox, for our King is one who rode into the sound of Hosanna on a donkey. A King whose crown would be one of thorns, whose throne was to be lifted high on the cross. And so, in the midst of his glory and divinity, we never, or rather, he never loses sight of his humanity. The mystery of the King of Kings is one who is also God with us, for he can be enfolding us, be enfolded by us, and watch over us all at once. It's not an either-or, but both reside together. And we hear in the worship song, some may know, the servant king, there are the hands that flung stars into space, are the same hands that two cruel nails were surrendered. I once encountered an image of the servant king encapsulated in a painting by Salvador Dali, St. John of the Cross, some of you may know it, where Jesus is enthroned on high on a cross overlooking the world. This famous picture often comes to mind, for on the back there was a poem, The Kiss of Christ, which along with that picture still inspires me. It reminds me that Christ the King, yes, reigns over, and yes, also died for the world. He invites us close to him, just as we venerate the cross, his throne, and the crown of our humble King on Good Friday. He invites us close to his throne to turn our eyes to him in our times of joy and of sorrow too. I wonder which image, which name of Jesus speaks to you. What image, which name feeds your soul? Perhaps it has changed in different seasons of your life. Perhaps it's not in the famous or even conventional works of music or art around us. Perhaps you see Jesus in the lives of those around you. So as we turn to Advent, just next week, may we seek his face in unexpected places, and so we discover the light of his glory and grace. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. Amen.